Friends, let's be honest. There seems to be a possibility that in some respects, the Pope is not an Orthodox Catholic. Or at the very least, it seems that by his stubborn silence in the face of false or doubtful doctrine, and by his own confused and confusing teaching on the disputed questions of the day, he gives aid and comfort to those who undermine the Church's proclamation of the gospel, and thereby sows chaos and discord in the body of Christ, where there should be unity and peace. I am, of course, describing not the Church of today, but the Church of 1400 years ago. Pope Honorius I died in the year 638, and accomplished many good things, including convincing the famously obstreperous Irish to follow the Roman method of calculating the date of Easter. But he was also embroiled in a bitter international debate over the heresy of monothelitism. Look it up. A doctrine which denied the full humanity of Christ in an attempt to explain how the human and divine wills of the Lord Jesus worked together in a single divine person. The writings of Pope Honorius on the disputed doctrines were, at best, ambiguous, and he was condemned for teaching falsehood by the Third Council of Constantinople in the year 680. I mention this obscure part of our history in a deliberately provocative way in order to say this. Yes, Rome may be in total chaos right now, but everyone should just settle down. Our history is long and complex. Disputed questions are resolved over centuries, not sound bites, and popes come and go. What remains always is Jesus Christ the Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's keep calm and Catholic on. In the months ahead, we will continue to read impassioned arguments about the Amazon Synod, which just ended, about the scandalous and apparently idolatrous worship given to the pagan goddess Pachamama, and about the many controversies unleashed in the Church during these last 3 weeks of confusion. And to be sure, there are important questions about this mess that require thorough examination and careful analysis. But we should never be thrown into personal turmoil by such agitations, and keeping in mind the long view of history can help us maintain proper perspective. So let's keep calm and Catholic on. For 35 years, during the pontificates of John Paul II and Benedict XVI, we grew accustomed to the splendid service of wise and learned popes who led the Church with great confidence and skill. But that interlude was not the norm in our long history, and now we have been reminded of that. Yes, many of our popes in these 2,000 years have been saints, scholars, reformers, evangelists, but not a few have been scoundrels, thieves, fornicators, or liars. And despite all that, we're still here, because even the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's Church. So let's keep calm and Catholic on. Great strife in the Church, of course, is never pleasant to experience, but history shows that it is more common than tranquility and good order. And now we have a salutary reminder that the papacy is not the center of the Church or the guarantor of the peaceful proclamation of the gospel. The Lord Jesus alone is our center. Christ alone can grant the peace which the world cannot give. And the Holy Spirit alone equips us to know the truth of Christ and preach the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. So let's keep calm and Catholic on. The second lesson today is taken from the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, and it beautifully illustrates the usually messy, sometimes tragic, and finally glorious humanity of life in the church. But instead of sublime teaching about justification by grace through faith or another exalted doctrine, today's passage from 2 Timothy describes the concrete circumstances of St. Paul's final days in ways that are simple, practical, and personal. If we read these words at their proper depth, though, we see behind Paul's list of those who have disappointed or betrayed him and those who have encouraged or supported him, the web of God's grace, binding people together with gossamer threads of faith, hope, and love, the same threads that bind us to all other Christians everywhere, including to the Bishop of Rome, even when he disappoints or mystifies us. So let's keep calm and Catholic on. I conclude today simply by reading to you the last 16 verses of 2 Timothy. Notice that Paul mentions two of the four evangelists, Mark and Luke, as well as Linus, the man who succeeded Simon Peter as Bishop of Rome. Christianity, in other words, does not spread from document to document, but from person to person. Also, be attentive to the serenity in Paul's words, even as his execution draws near. And know that this same serenity can be ours in the midst of the church's chaos if we live Christ-centered lives. Listen then to St. Paul's final words to Bishop Timothy, written from prison in Rome. I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful in serving me. Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one took my part. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth. Trophimus I left ill at Miletus. do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.